Midwest Guys presents Gotham Watch.
Yay, Gotham!
Tell Sal it's over. The guns are bought. The killing room is waiting. He doesn't know it, but he's a dead man. On second thought, I'll tell him myself.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Four Midwest Guys Presents Gotham Watch. Today we'll be reviewing Pinewood. With me today is Mr. Brian Ankenbauer.
Hey, what's up,
And my brother Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. How you guys doing today? All right?
Yeah, yep. Doing good.
Okay. So let's get into the episode of Pinewood. So right off the bat, I guess they get into the back computer and they find this address. Well, what will be the back computer, I guess I should say. Thomas Wayne's computer, correction.
Well, it might be the back computer. We don't know what Thomas Wayne did in this universe.
Well, we'll see. But anyway, they find this address, the middle of nowhere house.
A cabin.
Cabin in the woods, per se. Bruce breaks out his new handy-dandy lock-picking tools. And,
yeah, it's one of his many new things that he picked up while working on the streets.
With Selena.
And that, what, six-week montage sort of thing?
Yeah.
I think it's longer than that, but yeah.
Well, it's hard to say.
Yeah, so he picks the lock. They get in, and we're introduced to, we're just going to call her the Claw Hand Lady. Because I'm not sure.
Raptor Hand.
I think they didn't really mention her name. Maybe once, I
think. Yeah, I was going to say. They mentioned her name right in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because that's who they were looking for.
Right. So, obviously, yeah, she has a raptor hand instead of a...
Is that what it is? Is it a raptor hand?
Yeah, it looks kind of like a raptor hand. Yeah.
Because it was huge. I was trying to think of what lizard would have that hand.
Yeah, it looks like a raptor from like Jurassic Park or something.
Yeah, I would definitely say Velociraptor. So.
But it's a fully functioning...
Raptor hand.
Raptor hand. Claw.
But, and apparently there was some form of backstory of like how she was like abused as a kid and it was like damaged or something, so they were going to fix it.
Well, that's because she was a disabled kid and her dad would beat her up because she was disabled.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
But yeah, apparently instead of fixing her hand, they gave her a raptor hand.
I like velociraptors. I'm going to give you a velociraptor hand.
Which is kind of really funny considering Hugo Strange also was in Jurassic Park.
That's right, he was.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was it Jurassic World or Jurassic Park?
All of them.
Both of them.
Really?
He's the one scientist. He's the lead scientist. So, there's the connection.
I didn't know that, actually. Yeah. That is actually really funny.
Yeah. So, what'd you guys think of Claw Hand Lady? What's your impressions?
I actually found her very forgettable as a character. Like, she got killed off later on, but...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, it's a review show. It's all kind of a spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
It's all kind of a spoiler at this point, isn't it?
True.
Spoiler alert. All right.
You're right. She was very forgettable. We couldn't remember her name.
Yeah.
However,
I'm pretty sure Bruce says it like several times throughout the episode. I don't remember.
I wanted to like get involved with that character, though, because she seemed like, you know, she was going to be an integral part. She knew who Hugo Strange was. She knew what he looked like because it was just the
philosopher
at the time.
Yeah, that was the code name for the head.
And she knew what he looked like. So you're like, instantly, she's going to pick out the rose colored glasses. You're going to be able to find her, no problem. And then she just gets killed off. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way about kind of a few of the story arcs this season, though. Like you see, like introduction of Penguin's family, dead. Gordon's in prison. He's out.
And I understand it's part of the storyline, the plot line, but part of me was like, why don't you just ask for a description? It wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Apparently, Bruce did not pick up the ability to draw faces.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's a stick figure, and they draw a bald guy with glasses.
Did he have any, you know, features that kind of stood out?
Well, he had a scar over his eye, but I won't mention that.
All right, so, okay. Yeah, I wasn't real impressed with Claw Hand Girl. Claw Hand Lady, whatever you want to call her.
They kind of seem to use her to kind of play up, like, her connection to Thomas Wayne and how that reacts to Bruce and try to make it more emotional sort of thing. More than anything else.
Well, there was a very emotional side because she even said that he was, like, a father to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he gave her... he gave her stuff, and
that one
music box.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that Bruce has at the end of the episode.
And she was even protecting him all the way up to the end because she was holding back from Bruce that Thomas actually started Pinewood, the crazy place.
At the same time, like, just starting like a bioengineering thing isn't necessarily a bad thing. And to be honest, I kind of felt like that was kind of cheesing it up more than it had to.
She was said to him, you know, he did it for the right reasons.
Yeah,
it
and just then went the wrong guy direction. Got in, you know, in charge of it.
So, but yeah, I was so kind of like you, Brian. I was kind of hoping to at least two episodes, maybe. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, we weren't expecting her to be like this show's Robin by any means, but
yeah.
You would expect her to kind of hold around for a few episodes.
But she does reveal that the philosopher, it was, who is Hugo Strange, spoiler alert, that is the lead scientist of Pinewood. So you have Pinewood, started by Thomas Wayne, and Hugo Strange is the head scientist in this.
Mm-hmm.
They reveal a picture, and Hugo and Thomas are right next to each other, so they're at least...
Yeah, was it Lucius Fox, like, finds, like, an old employee record?
Right, that's how they find out that he has the philosopher written underneath Hugo Strange.
I don't know why you would have, like, nicknames in that circumstance, but they did.
Well, it was, like, a club or something they had, really like a guy's club.
Usually a tennis club or a fencing club or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Based on their sweaters.
They were playing racquetball.
But yeah, they're obviously setting up that Hugo was not just a scientist that worked with Thomas Wayne, but was pretty much Thomas Wayne's maybe best friend, maybe, or close confidant, maybe. Even.
Something along those lines. Maybe higher up in the business, or like they got along well, if nothing else.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting dynamic, don't you think, maybe with, you know, Brian, about the, with Bruce Wayne going forward then?
Well, that's definitely, you can tell as soon as he, you could tell as soon as Bruce found out that.
Yeah.
Like, you could already see him turning, like, hit the wheels turning in his mind, and he was like, it was his friend that did it?
Mm.
That's not fair, you know, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, then all you start thinking about Batman and how Batman is all alone, and Batman tried to keep it to himself so he doesn't have those attachments. Is it because he doesn't want the attachments, or is it because he doesn't want to be betrayed by a friend?
Right. Yeah. He doesn't want to repeat his father's mistakes.
Right.
It's a very good possibility. Does it seem weird setting up Hugo Strange as the person that hired, like, the assassination on, like, Thomas and Martha Wayne, though? Like, doesn't it seem like kind of a
Not really, because, I mean, if you think about it, Thomas Wayne was going to be the one to shut down his program. That's what Hugo Strange was working on. So basically, you're going to shut down my job.
Yeah, but Pinewood was already shut down for years by the time that he, like, assassinates him, right?
Well, they'd shut down. Yeah, Pinewood had been shut down, but I mean, it might have been something he held a grudge for. Maybe they had a falling out. We don't know how far back this relationship goes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was more than a working environment, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, hopefully
they explore that. I find it weird because so far with Strange, we really haven't seen any of his motivations outside of, I like doing sciencey stuff. Let's bring that guy back from the dead.
Well, he's crazy, obviously, but he's the careful chess player.
Yeah.
Villain, you know.
Yeah,
laying out the pieces, so to speak, which I think we've talked about before.
Well, I think we're going to find out that the connection is going to be a deep rooted into the whatchamacallit guy that's missing his arm.
Oh yeah, what was that guy?
That family.
Yeah.
The Dumas.
Yeah, the Dumas, the whole legacy. Yeah.
I think it's gonna play into that somehow.
Mm.
And it's gonna be one of those, like, he's wanting to see the demise of the Wayne Foundation and everything else, so he's doing it from the inside or whatever.
So he's been working the whole time.
Yeah,
it could be.
It's got to be something like that, because
I don't know. It'd be kind of weird to interconnect him into the Dumas storyline, and because I mean, you more or less have Galavant being resurrected by him as, like, Asriel,
well,
and being almost looking like he's going to be a pawn.
Right, but what I'm saying is, he says, we've finally done it. We were able to do it. Like, he's been trying to do it for a long time. In one of the tubes that we saw in one of those episodes was. Looked like the head of the Dumas clan or whatever with missing the arm.
Oh, okay.
As if it was like
the guy back from the 1800s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kept him on ice.
They've kept him on ice the entire time, trying to bring him back to life.
When he was making that statement, I just assumed that was his trying to bring people back from the dead sort of statement. You know, his Frankenstein moment.
It could be both.
It could be both, but I think it has a ultimate impact. Like, we were able to do it now. Now we can try it on, you know,
okay. X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, very, very interesting. I do like the Hugo Strange bad guy much better than Gallivant. So,
oh,
yeah,
by leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
Even so. With Gallivant coming back, like, even, like, that little moment where he starts, like, quoting some sort of religious thing. And
well, that's, yeah, how he's going to invent Azrael in the next
yeah,
episode.
Like, he's almost, like, creating, like, and it looks like in the next episode, Hugo Strange manipulating that to give him, like, a purpose for coming back of thing.
Yeah, he's totally going to use that.
Like, manipulating it on...
You can see
yeah.
at the end of this, he's like, Azrael. You know?
It's like, I like that. Yeah. I'll use that.
I'll use that. Yeah. And get some, yeah.
But even in, like, this context, like, I still like Hugo Strange more as a villain, even with Gallivant coming back and being, like, some, you know, Batman-like nemesis.
Well, yeah, because he's... It feels like he keeps releasing people. He released Penguin out, and now he released Barbara out. He's, like, he's experimenting with these people. He's throwing them back out there. Next episode, he's going to throw Gallivant back out there as Azrael in this armor.
Well, at least with Gallivant, it seems like he's being sent out with a purpose, to a certain extent, because he looks like he's going to be hunting down Gordon, whereas with both... Barbara and Penguin, it's kind of just like, I just kind of want to see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make notes.
Well, and speaking of Barbara, Barbara is let out of the asylum after what appears to be one session where she says she's crazy.
Well, she said it was multiple sessions. We only saw one.
Yeah, right. And that's actually well,
the funny thing is she even kind of makes a joke about that when she's in the one club talking to...
The women's club?
Yeah, talking to the... lady that ran.
The lady? Like what is it? Is it the lady? Is that her name?
I don't know if they
I
ever
don't
said
remember.
It.
They said what it
like
was.
She ran
it was,
like the hitman
yeah,
organization?
It was the something lady. Or it was just the lady. One or the other. Anyway, it was kind of like, she didn't really have a name. It was just like a, she was just a
like
figure.
A code.
Yeah. Yeah, she was just, that was her figure name on top of this.
Yeah, but she
Assassin's
made,
Club.
Yeah, she even made a joke to her about how she just, you know, had to cry and, you know, pretend she was sorry and tired and it was all worked out.
So, we see Barbara. Barbara's back, and Barbara's helping Gordon again, and she actually pretends to be crazy. She actually ties up Gordon, knocks him out, ties him up, and looks like she's going to kill him, but instead she turns on her new...
Her new ally.
The lady and her new allies.
Yeah, once she gets the information that Gordon
yeah, she kind of like...
A philosopher. That's where
yeah, like she even kind of goads it out of her. Like, just like, oh, he's going to die. Why don't you tell him?
Just go ahead and tell him. Yeah. And then she turns on him. And then there's the big scene between her and Gordon where Gordon basically just tells her to go, well, I'll just say fuck off, essentially.
Yeah.
And she's just kind of left there. You know.
I actually think she did really good for this like episode, though. Like, that is actually like a really decent scene for the season.
Oh yeah, I mean it's you know, she it's like she was actually trying to be good there, and
yeah,
it backfired on her essentially.
Yeah, like it's almost interesting.
Although,
seeing
not that you blame Gordon.
Or, no, like you see they're falling out, and you can almost see like she's kind of hurt by it. Like she was kind of reaching out in some way.
Yeah,
and you can almost see like that almost falling back into your old role is because of that denial or some rejection in some ways.
Yeah, I really like her character. I have no idea where they're going with her.
Oh, yeah. I actually hated her character in the first season, but I've loved what they've done with it since.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're still going to go Harley Quinn. I don't know. What do you think, Brian? You think she's still heading down the Harley Quinn path, maybe?
I hope so, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
because it's like they keep... Like, this whole episode was almost, like, trying to bring her back, and then she fails.
Yeah, but like Aaron said, I think it might be something similar to the that whole denial of that trying to be good again, and she gets the denial from Gordon. It just might send her back to the other path, because right after that, she did go back to Gallivant's sister.
Right, with Butch, yeah.
And Gallivant's sister's like,
welcome home.
She's home.
Yeah,
and Bush is like, well, okay then.
She's kind of like petting her like a cat or something.
Well, yeah. Like, all right, well, I guess I'll grab some pizza, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it just, it was seemed kind of odd, but, you know, some of the Harley Quinn Poison Ivy storylines, you know, with the girl, you know, where the girls like each other, maybe they're kind of doing that a little bit here.
They kind of hinted at something similar to that.
I don't know, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
At least a lot of their other interactions previous to the season have that kind of dynamic.
I really want her to do the Harley Quinn storyline.
Do you only want to do the Harley Quinn because you want the Joker there too?
Yes, but I also like Harley Quinn by herself.
Yes.
And I think she can pull it off.
Well, at the same
time,
though,
her crazy side is just perfect like pre-Harley Quinn. I mean, she's like this far from, you know.
I think, I'm not sure if they're going to make her into Harley Quinn, but I think this is a show that kind of wants to tease out the Joker thing for at least another season or so.
They better not.
I really feel like they want to. But to be honest, like, Jerome made, like, good sense for, like, a Joker character because he was around the same age as Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like Penguin and Riddler where it's like, they easily have 15 years on them.
I guess.
Did you guys see the Easter egg?
Yes.
Underneath the bridge.
The painting, the ha ha ha.
Yeah, the Joker. Yeah, Joker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, that was also the same thing that was on the... I just call her the girl Joker
mm-hmm.
when it's on her drum set or whatever.
Yeah, it was on her drum set, and then there was
They had the whole club, and they had the, mm-hmm. like being a thing where it's like creating like entire like.
And there was also that on the one of the alley walls.
Mm-hmm. Well, one interesting take on they could do is instead of actually doing like an actual Joker, but actually doing something like the Joker gang, like you have like in Batman Beyond.
That's possible. I still want Jerome back. I will at least see him try to be the Joker.
Just,
you know,
have Strange resurrect him in the same way, like, Galavant comes back and becomes Azrael.
Yeah, exactly. That like sort of thing. Yeah, except he's maybe not quite as, doesn't come back quite, and his skin's white now.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. I don't know.
Like, he doesn't get resurrected successfully.
Well, yeah, because Brian's even pointed out, he's like, well, what if he still has, like, this rigor mortis problem, and that's why he has a smile stuck on his face?
Because
he dies with a smile on his face, mm-hmm. essentially. So,
like, certain muscles just atrophied when he was dead, and
they're stuck that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, which would make perfect sense, you know.
It would be kind of a Jack Nicholson take on it.
It would, and I would be perfectly fine. I would think that would be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it's not necessarily bad. I mean, you can make the argument this actually lines up with, like, Burton's version of Batman pretty decently.
Yeah, a little bit. Maybe a little darker than the Burton movies.
It's a little less campy.
There's no comic book feel to this series. All right, so let's get down to the final point of the show I want to talk about, and that is the return of Mr. Freeze, which was my favorite part, although we didn't get much of a scene. But we're right off the bat, they tell us the Hugo Strange assistant's like, well, he's a lot meaner now. He's a lot
more different. Then they go into like his little cell, and they have like the whole winter clothing thing.
Yeah,
it was a fun little scene.
This time last time we saw Freeze, he's still dealing with the emotions of his wife. This time we see Freeze, he is cold. He's the ruthless, much colder Mr. Freeze. What did you think, Brian?
I must have missed a good portion of the show.
Really?
Because I don't even remember that part.
You don't remember that at all?
No.
Oh, okay. Do you remember when Freeze attacked him?
Yeah, I got that part.
All right,
okay.
You just don't remember, like, Hugo Strange and his assistant Peabody talking to him?
Took a small nap or something?
Yeah, I must have taken a small nap, dozed off or something, because I don't remember that part.
Okay, well, what'd you think about Freeze attacking him? I mean, the suit and whatnot.
I thought it was pretty badass, and the fact that his suit was bulletproof.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it didn't affect him, although his head was kind of still open, so they
Yeah, that actually kind of threw me off, because I'm used to, like, the animated series where you have, like, the little... like, reverse sort of, like, scuba diver thing.
Yeah, and I was kind of shocked by that, too, because I was like, well, what if the sun comes out and...
Yeah, like, isn't his head going to be... Like, I would assume he has to breathe in oxygen that's of a certain temperature. It's like, that seems like that ruins the effect.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was kind of like, where's the dome? He has to have a dome. He's Mr. Freeze.
I also kind of missed the glasses, though. Like, from the animated series where he had, like, those kind of bright red goggles things. Like, I thought that was an awesome contrast.
I liked it, but I think they're going for the dark blue eyes or whatever in this series, which is still pretty
cool. It kind of has that White Walker from Game of Thrones effect.
Yeah, but yeah, his whole... Yes, that's a good example. That's a good comparison. The other thing...
Mr. Freeze starts the Ice Walker.
That would be badass. But
it's just going to be, you see him like next season down Game of Thrones. It's just like, yes, I am the true original White Walker.
Yeah. With his freeze gun. But the other thing I liked about this, when he attacked him, he was ruthless when he attacked him. I mean, just, Mr. Freeze had become cold. Like, no
like,
heart,
he actually,
no soul, just...
And he used, like, the weapons he kind of gained, like, in the previous episodes really efficiently. Not only did you see him use, like, the gun really well, but he just casually just kind of tossed that little freeze grenade.
The freeze grenade. Yeah. And when he froze the claw lady, he immediately just chopped her down.
Yep. Just
with his gun, yeah.
Yeah, didn't wait or, you know, take like a moment to pause.
Just... Well, we barely even saw her freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was right through her. Like, it was like, okay.
Yeah, totally heartless, cold. Perfect Mr. Freeze, the villain Mr. Freeze that we
all
know.
Well, I mean, there could be a time limit on the suit in his defense. Like, that could be an aspect of it. Like, maybe he does have to return to, like, his chamber after a certain time period.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, that's possible. I was very impressed on how they made sure to make Mr. Freeze this time the true Mr. Freeze. Like, before we were seeing him transition, and we got his origin story. Mm. Now we're finally seeing the Mr. Freeze.
Even when he was kind of transitioning, like, he had some regrets about it, but he would still kind of kill someone if they got
his way.
Oh, yeah,
don't get me wrong. The guy had, you know, gone past his morals a long time ago by the time we saw him. But this was true. This would be, like, literally the definition of cold-hearted.
Yeah,
in
that's
my
fair.
Opinion. So. All right, guys. Well, I think we've reviewed it pretty well. So let's just get down to final thoughts and grades. All right, Aaron, I'll let you have the honor of the first final thought.
I'll probably give the episode a B-. It had some nice moments with Barbara, Mr. Freeze, but to be honest, there was a lot of parts where I kind of just felt like the acting went a little over the top, and like some of the storylines were kind of closed down a little too quickly. Like, even the Azrael bit at the end, that should have been really interesting. Like, a part of me was just watching that, and I couldn't really get invested, because it seemed a bit much.
Oh, really?
I thought so.
I actually liked that part a lot.
Like, it's not bad, it's just, it seemed, like, over the top to the point where we're starting to get a little corny, and...
I don't know.
Like, it looks like it's going to have a good transition in the next episode, but for me, it kind of took me out of it. And then you also have the raptor hand lady, and it's a character I couldn't really invest in, and they really didn't give you much time to, so... It detracted a bit from that, but otherwise, it was a good episode.
Okay. You know, I'm going to actually give it a little higher. I'm going to give it a solid B+. Good overall episode. We're getting a little, finally got a little bit of Thomas Wayne, his backstory a little bit. We're starting to explore that. It was nice to, I liked the reveal of Hugo as being more of his trusted friend than just a coworker, or that he actually knew Bruce's dad. You know, the return of Galavan as Azrael at the end for me was very cool. And obviously Mr. Freeze at the end, you know, just being the cold-hearted Mr. Freeze was awesome as well. The only thing that kept it from being an A for me would be the Claw Lady again. They either got rid of her too fast or they didn't make her interesting enough. Maybe a combination of the both. That would be my only detractor. So, Brian, what's your final thought?
I'm going to give it a B+, A-. You know, it feels like Gotham is getting good again.
Yes, it is.
I really liked this episode, finding out who set up his father. Yeah. That was a good part. Find out that Wayne Enterprises was the start of Pinewood and Indian Hill. Got to see Freeze back, bigger and badder than ever. I actually liked Claw Hand Lady.
Okay.
And I thought the animation, the CGI on her hand.
Oh, the raptor hand.
Was done animation. Really well. I mean, it looked.
Yeah, actually, real. It did look nice.
I mean, it looked really well. It wasn't cheesy or anything like that.
I think one of the benefits of that as well is, like, they didn't show it on screen for too long, so you don't really have, like, a large amount of time to dissect it. Like, it shows it just enough.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they showed it quite a bit. They showed it from the one angle from the front, and then even when they were getting arrested. And they had their hands up.
Yeah.
You saw it.
Oh, that reminds me. You actually had the cop kind of stare at it, kind of funny. Yeah. And that scene. That was a good moment, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like, it actually, it for me, I like I said, I really wanted to be invested in her more. Like, maybe another episode. Even if it was something where the fact that she gave the sketch, and then Bruce was able to complete what his father wanted to do, and give her that piece, you know.
Or maybe
the safety, right?
Give him more backstory on his dad or something.
Right. Yeah. That was the only deterrent for me, was the fact that they didn't invest in her. Like, they gave us this character, told us she was the first...
First mutant, essentially.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, the first project of Hugo Strange. And then Hugo finds out that they're going after her. And it's an all-out assault to try to get rid of her, so they can't find out who she is. But... they eventually find out anyway, and maybe we don't find out at the end of the episode the professor is. We already knew as an audience, but they didn't confirm it until the very end. So, but anyway, I give it a B+, A-.
Awesome. All right. So where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? Well, you can find us on Facebook.com/4MidwestGuys. You can find us. We're on YouTube. All you have to do is search the 4 Midwest Guys. You can find us on iTunes. Same thing. Search the 4 Midwest Guys. We're on OneCast. We're also on Stitcher. Just about every online app out there we're on. If we're not, please drop me a line. I'll make sure we're at it. Twitter. We're on Twitter. That's at the 4 Midwest Guys. Brian, where can people find you?
At AnkZone, AnkZone.
Excellent, sir. And I am finally proud to announce that we have broken 1,000 followers on the main account.
Yeah, we're up to over, like, I think it's like 1,010.
Yeah.
1,010. I'm up to 2,250 on mine.
Wow, sweet.
So we're kicking ass and taking names.
So keep reaching out to us. Keep following us. There's plenty of ways. And if all else fails, just Google us. 4 Midwest Guys. You'll find our YouTube page. You'll find our Twitter account. You'll find our Facebook. Everywhere you can reach out to us and find us, it's all there. The only thing I'll tell you is the podcast.com, their feed is about a month behind. So, but other than that, every other feed is up to date. So, good to go there. All right. Well, Brian, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Aaron, as always.
Yep, not a problem.
Thanks, sir. And for myself, B. Willie, saying we'll catch you next time. Same bat time, same bat channel.